This is episode 75 of the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops with Angus Mansfield from X-Central. In this episode, we talk about the importance of business relationships and how fostering these correctly can really help you grow your business. You can support this podcast by purchasing guides from www.ciaops.com/publications. There you will find a range of information on using technologies like SharePoint and Office 365. You'll also find templates there to use on your own SharePoint site to help your business get up to speed quickly. Reseller options are also available. All of these can be downloaded immediately at www.ciaops.com/publications. Welcome along, listener, to another Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. Thought that I'd give you a bit of an update in this new format that I'm trying. A quick editorial before we get into our main podcast. Just to let you know that I have released a new free email SharePoint online training course. You'll find that at www.ciops.com/templates. Basically, you sign up using your email address and then you will get a lesson every day for the next couple of weeks. There includes 3.5 hours or so of videos, plenty of links to other content, and 250 pages of downloadable documentation. Again, that's free. Just sign up at www.ciops.com/templates. The other thing that I have made available for free is my SharePoint operations guide. I used to charge for that on a annual subscription. I've made that all generally freely available at www.ciops.com/WSSOps. So that is information typically about SharePoint on-premise, particularly around Small Business Server, Company Web, Windows SharePoint services. So in there you'll find many documents, many pages of information about configuring, maintaining, setting up and doing all sorts of things with typically the foundation version of SharePoint. Again, all freely downloadable, so again, go and take advantage of that. The other thing that is mentioned in this podcast with Angus is Link. So Link is a technology that's available from Office 365, and I certainly encourage people to connect with me using Link. My Link address is admin@ciaops365.com. So simply go into your Link, type that email address in, and you should be able to add me as a contact. And when you do, please feel free to ping me anytime on Link with any questions or information that you may be seeking. As always, to finish off this editorial, I'll just let you know that we're looking for some more listeners to provide feedback and give me some questions so we can answer them quickly in here. Obviously looking for some suggestions around what topics you want to hear, what guests you'd like to have on board, and any general comments and feedbacks that you may have. And you can do this quickly and easily via a webpage at www.ciops.com/contact. And again, I certainly read and answer any feedback that is sent my way. So without further ado, let's launch into the podcast. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. My name is Robert Crane, and in this episode, my guest is Angus Mansfield. Angus, welcome.
Thank you, Rob. Nice to be here.
So as we always do, Angus, what it is your job now is to let everybody know who you are, what you do, and give them some background on exactly, you know, what sort of stuff you're doing. So if you can do that, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. Angus Mansfield, as you mentioned, I'm sales director for X-Central. So we are an SMB IT service provider. In fact, we're kind of, as a lot of companies out there do, we wear two hats. We're a systems integrator and a managed service provider, focusing predominantly around the Microsoft stack, but we do kind of dabble in other areas as well. So my responsibility is basically pipeline for the business development, and therefore, you know, ultimately the bottom line. So fairly big responsibility that I definitely feel the responsibility of, but some of the things we're going to talk about today, I'm sure we'll kind of cover off how our business goes about doing that. X-Central's been around for about 10 years, we've seen a particular growth spurt in the last couple of years, we're now up to about roughly 17 staff. So started very humbly about about 10 years ago with the three founders, and we're also involved in the business, and we've grown it from there. So it's been an interesting ride, and one that I'm lucky enough to have known you for most of, Rob.
Oh dear, that's a big ask, isn't it? Wow. So we probably need to firstly let people know that what we've decided probably to focus on, and I think it's really good that we've got Angus on to do that, is the concept around partnering and relationship building and how that works, you know, in the technology space. But what we may need to do first is to wind the clock back a bit to where we first met, and you and I were probably thinking about the cloud future a long time before it was actually mainstream as it is today. So do you want to let listeners know sort of where we sort of first, I think, touch base?
Yeah, absolutely. So from Xcentral's point of view, we came out of the enterprise, and we were used to, you know, the corporate exchange kind of functionality, and not having, you know, outstanding exchange skills ourselves, we saw the opportunity to go with a hosted exchange platform for our customers. At that point in time, Web Central had basically pioneered hosted exchange, or managed exchange, as they were calling it. And we were fairly heavily involved with Web Central back in the day, you know, partnering with them on a few different roadshows and doing some presentations, and generally involved in the community, rather, that they'd built up. And that was what you're a member of, Rob. So I remember us talking a fair bit about managed exchange and also managed SharePoint back in those days. And there weren't too many people thinking about it. And
I think the difference was, is you guys were coming from the exchange side, the email side of it, which is obviously, you know, the big thing that made the most sense. I still to this day maintain a complete hatred of email and wanted to focus on SharePoint. So I'd spent a lot of time learning SharePoint, working with it on the small business server side of things, and began to appreciate that a large majority of the time was being spent actually maintaining the back end, keeping SQL running, keep the web server IIS, and that doesn't allow you to do much of the business consulting where, you know, a lot of the revenue is. So my aim was that Web Central also provided a hosted SharePoint solution, and that was my major interest in it, was to get into the hosted SharePoint side of it. So again, we met at a number of partner things, and again, you were coming mainly from the exchange, the email side of it, and I was coming from the SharePoint, and Web Central were the first people in the market. Now, I think from there, basically, what we saw was that solution was great up to a point, and then what happened, you know, a number of years ago was that Microsoft then brought out their BPOS product, and that's morphed into Office 365, and we've sort of grown from there. Now, moving from the relationship you had with obviously Web Central to a, you know, relationship with Microsoft, how would you sort of categorize that the focus has been for you on working with Microsoft and the benefits you've found, you know, going down and moving in that direction?
Yeah, it's always been an important relationship for us, but one that we've had to kind of feel our way through. So the three founders of Xcentral, we all came out of what was originally Comtech and then went on to be Dimension Data. So those kind of enterprise level agreements were really important to us, you know, with regards to our background. So when Xcentral first started, we went and got gold certified straight away. We probably didn't know what to make of that initially. We certainly didn't make the most of the relationship. We kind of wanted it there, I guess partly for the kudos, but also for the partner support. And at that point in time, when we were starting up, you know, the number of clients was quite limited. So we probably didn't maximize it that much. We then had a bit of a hiatus for a couple of years where, from a financial point of view, you know, we couldn't see the return on investment for the fees that the partnership involved. We got back, I guess, thinking about it about 5 years ago. It really came down to personal relationships with people within Microsoft. That's what got it going initially. We had a couple of really good people touch base with us and I guess see what we were doing and saw how it aligned with what they were doing. And that started off a really good kind of synergistic relationship. And that's probably the main thing with Microsoft, is we do go into it as a partnership rather than we paid our fees, you know, what's in it for us. We actively engage with Microsoft, and that's definitely paid dividends for us. And it was probably, you know, the second time around in the relationship where we actually started dealing with people rather than just getting a certification number that we started to see those benefits.
Well, I think the thing is what I've learned over time is you know, the old adage of it's not what you know, it's who you know. And, you know, a lot of this, you know, social networking and that sort of stuff, yeah, if you look at it from the outside, there's not a lot of ROI. But on the other side, used correctly to leverage a network to grow, to keep in touch with people and enhance those personal relationships, that's the key. And I think one of the important points you've touched on there is you see a lot of partners who, again, look at the partner program or look at the default offering that a reseller has, and they join it and they do no more. The key word there, obviously, is it's all about the relationship. But I think, obviously, the thing that we've had all over those years is that relationship where we can, you know, talk to each other, we catch up, what's happening, you know, share information, share all that sort of stuff. And that's benefited both parties. And I think too many people see the vendor side of it, especially as, okay, what's in it for me? And, you know, they expect everything to be coming their way. Where the reality is from a vendor point of view, you've got so many partners. The reality is you're going to focus on those partners who, again, you make the most connection, who are the most responsive, who are basically putting their hand up as keen to be interested in the product that we're working at. So, again, I totally agree with you that, you know, the program or whatever is got to go beyond that, and it's about working with the relationship. And once you do, the ROI is far more than you ever invest in it, I find. I think, is that a fair statement that you found?
Yeah, it is. And look, Microsoft is probably almost unique in the scale of the partner program that they have to run. And since, you know, we've got more involved and we've seen the engine that runs that, is pretty phenomenal, and they really do have a hell of a job making it all work. One of the things that's been really refreshing for us is that they have actively sought our feedback on the partner program. Is it working? What could be improved? You know, what are the good things we're doing? What are the bad things we're doing? And we found that really refreshing because, one, it's given us some kind of, you know, buy-in, more or less, and what we're able to try to give them our feedback on the program. But it's also showed us that you know, there's the acknowledgement that whilst it's good, and by the way, I think the partner program is as good as it's ever been over the last couple of years, you know, they're also acknowledging that there's room for improvement. And there is, as you mentioned, Rob, there's so many partners out there with varying levels of I guess interaction and activism, and it's hard for them. The people in there work incredibly hard, and we've found that if you engage with them, ultimately it makes their job kind of nicer, because instead of just doing, you know, social media blasts and email blasts and things like that, that they enjoy that kind of personal interaction as well. So it is worth the effort.
Well, I think the two things are is that no matter how big the vendor is, even Microsoft of its size, they have limited resources. And again, in Australia, they have so much budget to achieve training, partner engagement, and that sort of stuff. And if you're a business, and Microsoft at the end of the day is a business, it's about providing return to its shareholders, which again, a lot of partners seem to overlook. But they've got to make money on what they do and where they spend their money. And again, you're going to spend your money where you get the most return. And that, again, you've got to look at that and realize that there are a limited amount of resources, and you spend it generally with the good partners. I think the other thing too that you mentioned that's important is even though it is a business as big as Microsoft, that business is composed of individuals within that organization, and that's where the personal relationships come in. That's where you get all the benefits, because at the end of the day, people generally do business with people that they like, that they know, that they're comfortable with, and that's really the secret to, for example, do your marketing and just throw out a whole lot of brochures, you know, flyers you put in email, put in letterboxes. The return on that's pretty low. So again, my feeling is the investment you make in building a relationship, personal relationship with these people, is going to benefit you, not necessarily only in the current role that person may have, but don't forget, they may move to another role or another opportunity, and you may benefit from that. So I think that's sort of what you're saying is that, that the relationship, the individual relationships are so important, and that's what you need to work on to really cultivate. Is that what you're sort of saying there, Angus? Is that your experience? Is that the relationships the people have, and that's what you've really worked hard on, and that part of that is understanding, you know, what they're after, what their KPIs, you know, what making their job easier.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's something that we're still learning, by the way, is ultimately, as you mentioned, all these vendors are a business. They've got their own KPIs. They've got their own, targets that they need to set. And it's finding out what ticks their boxes and what you can do in order to try to make it work for both of you.
Yeah, and I think part of it is that you've got to shift away from being that technical, pure technical side. And I think the culture of, the most people who are in the smaller side and run their own business are technical people, and I hate to say it, they do tend to struggle with the interpersonal skills. So if there's something that they can invest in, something they can work on, something that will improve their business, I think it's the interpersonal skills. I mean, sort of, is that your observation as well from other partners and resellers you see out there?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point because, most people get into business for themselves because they're particularly good at something. And in IT, generally speaking, that's the technical side of things. So it makes perfect sense, and it's perfectly natural for that to be the case. I'm lucky in that I've had two business partners. So between the three of us, we've worked pretty hard at kind of splitting up our skill set and developing maybe some of those softer areas that help us as a business. And that's not so easy if you're one man on your own or one woman on your own. So I've been lucky in that regard. And we've had to work hard at that stuff that doesn't particularly come naturally. And even with some of those things, partnering makes sense because someone else may be better at that than you and vice versa with the technical skills. So it can lead to more opportunities anyway.
Well, I think part of it too is as you've obviously grown from the size that you were to a relatively large business, lots of employees, and I think you would agree that what's happened is that the transition has been from, maybe 90% technical day-to-day to now getting towards 90% HR, human interaction, relationships, dealing with employees, dealing with vendors, and that's sort of been your transition as owners down the track. And it would seem to me that if a business wants to grow beyond, the small operation and get employees and engage with vendors more closely, is that's something they really need to work on is this interpersonal skills, the way they deal with people, how they do their networking, which unfortunately, again, like we said, is a lot of IT people tend to be very poor at. So they either need to invest that in themselves or, like you said, partner with other people who can bring that skill set on board. I mean, is that, again, a fair comment?
Yeah, it is. And going back to how we split up our skill sets, I mentioned my job role earlier in the podcast. I'm sales director. My other KPI is around supplier relationships. So I'm either, generally speaking, in front of customers or in front of suppliers. And both those things are quite tightly interwoven, because in designing and quoting solutions, we need to know the best vendor and the best supplier in order to get those from. So for me, I would say 75% of my job is the relationship side of things, and 25% is working with my tech guys in order to get a quote together. Now we're lucky in that we took the step of getting a business coach involved about 9 years ago in the business, and that definitely gave us some structure and helped us grow and helped us identify the KPIs and split them between the different directors. So we've had some kind of structure behind it, which has been really important. But the last kind of 18 months, we've really kind of run with that structure, and we've seen our supplier relationships improve dramatically. It's not only Microsoft, but at the risk of giving people a plug here, I mean, we now have a very close relationship with Synnex, for example, who are trying so hard to partner. And any people out there listening who haven't tried to partner with Synnex, I'd really recommend getting involved, because they're really, really trying hard on that partnership side of things right now, which is really refreshing.
Okay, so you've got all these relationships that you're trying to manage. You've got, the large organisations like Microsoft. You've got, maybe the smaller ones, the localised ones like Synnex you mentioned. You've also got relationships with smaller parties, specialists, those sort of people. How do you manage those? Is it just an email thing, calendar contacts? Is it social networking? Is it LinkedIn? I mean, how do you obviously systemize this relationship management so that you obviously get the most out of it? I mean, how do you personally manage all these sort of things?
Half of it, I think, is actually finding the right synergy with whoever you're dealing with. So we struck up some really good relationships with people in the industry, yourself being one of them, Rob. And you know, we'll catch up periodically, and that's kind of, you know, the social side, because there's some synergy there. We've also got a really great relationship with, you know, for example, Calvert Technologies in Adelaide. So it's a non-competing territory. There's a lot of synergies and similarities between the business, and we find it really interesting and helpful to be able to bounce things off each other. And that normally comes up with, you know, maybe a monthly phone call between us and them, and it may not be, me calling my counterpart there. It might be them saying, we've got this technical idea we want to bounce off someone, and vice versa, we'll do the same to them. So finding the people that you can trust and rely on will help things come more naturally, certainly. And then there's the other relationships, which are important, but take a bit more of a structured and systematic effort. And that's something that, you know, we just try to schedule in meetings rather than saying, oh, we'll meet up at some point, you know, lock a meeting in, get round to seeing them. Even if it's a phone link up, it doesn't particularly matter. As long as you're keeping that personal kind of relationship up, it definitely helps.
Well, I think part of it is, and what I've discovered is you need to make time in your calendar for this relationship building. Now, a lot of people that I deal with, and probably on the smaller side, is I have a regular reminder in my calendar that says, you know, catch up with so and so, and when I see that, I send them an email, say, oh, you know, let's get together for a catch up, coffee, call, whatever. What I generally find is, unfortunately, is most of the response I get back is, oh, no, I'm too busy, and, you know, I'll put it off, can I reschedule? And at the end of the day, nothing happens, and, it, you know, I'll contact them again when that comes around. So what I found, and I agree with you, is that the most important things that you need to make time for is this personal relationship building. Now, being a technical guy, being an engineer, for me, it's always been a case of, if I do X, I expect, you know, X plus one to pop out the other end immediately. So again, you know, a straight return. Whereas the relationship's far more touchy-feely. You might have to go through a couple of meetings, and it might be 6-12 months down the track before, you know, you see some, I suppose, tangible benefits. And that can be the very hard thing, I think, for technical people to look at and say, well, I did all this, I've invested all this in the relationship, but I haven't got anything back tangible, therefore it's not worth doing. I think that's the really hard thing in this relationship thing is again, it's all a bit of, indeterminate, but I think that when it pays off much greater than any other way that I've noticed. I mean, again, is that sort of been your sort of experience?
Yeah, it is certainly, and that side of it, which is, you know, you might have a couple of meetings and nothing might happen. I think you got to put that in perspective. And to give you an example, there's one kind of telco provider who we're starting to work with now who, for the last couple of years, we've been just catching up. There's been a few beers, there's been a few coffees, touching base and I guess keeping up to date with what each business is up to. And that's led to, all of a sudden, for no particular reason, I don't think, but it's led to this kind of flurry of opportunities that we're working on together now, very, very good opportunities. So that's another example of, you know, it's a company who we enjoy the company of. We like the work that they do, which is obviously fundamentally important, because we don't recommend people who make us look bad. And that's one where there was some groundwork put in. It hasn't been painstaking because we like them anyway, and now are starting to pay off. Now, you also mentioned there, you know, making time in your calendar and things like that, it's obvious to say that there's only a finite number of hours in the day. In my role in particular, what will trump almost any scheduled meeting is having a sales opportunity. So you've got to balance the argument and also acknowledge that you know, from a sales point of view, you know, top line is very important, and that does come first in my job role. That also leaves a lot of gaps for building these other relationships. But you've got to evaluate each relationship on its, or each opportunity with partnership on its merits, and some are most definitely worth putting time into, and other ones you can kind of, you know, be a bit more casual about. Another really good networking opportunity that we've found is just partner events. Ultimately, the kind of people who you'd gravitate towards end up at these events anyway. So Microsoft conferences have been fantastic for us. We made the investment and went over to World Partner Conference last year. And that's, I think, bar none, probably the best investment that we've made as far as networking goes. It was absolutely fantastic. But then, you know, there's other events put on by other vendors, so the Cynics Roadshow, the Ingram Roadshows, all that kind of stuff, where the kind of people who you're networking with are going to be there anyway. There are generally networking drinks. It's a really low-key way to catch up with people who you might struggle to find some time in your diary for anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, the reality is that, you know, a lot of business is obviously done at the bar or in drinks or an after, you know, at conferences and those sort of things. And, you know, the thing I tell people is a lot of people look at conferences and, again, they won't spend the money, they won't make the investment. But the reason is because they pay the money, they go, and then they don't do anything. You know, that they sit at the back, they don't try and, you know, network with anybody, they don't go to any of the functions. What I've found is, as hard as it is, again, you know, for people who perhaps don't have the interpersonal skills or aren't extroverted naturally, is you have to potentially force yourself into these environments, go and meet people, be involved, you know, ask to be involved, put your hand up to volunteer to do presentations or provide experience or feedback. And again, it's not much you sitting in the back of the room, you know, just being shy and unassuming, because the reality is so many other people, businesses that are clamoring for that. And what you get out of it is really what you put into it, I believe. I mean, is that what you found with the way that you've, you know, grown these sort of investments?
Yeah, we've always done our best to get involved. We kind of think, you know, that there's times to go and listen, certainly when you're not an expert in whatever is being kind of discussed at the time. But there's other things that, you know, or other topics that we actively get involved with. And, you know, we've been asked to present at a few things, which has been you know, a big privilege for us to be kind of acknowledged as being experts in certain fields, which has been nice. But my advice would be, if you struggle to kind of walk up to someone, strike up a conversation, and I guess kick off that networking piece, which isn't easy to do for almost everyone, just at these conferences and events, just walk the floor. I mean, you know, at any given conference, there'll be, you know, 30 different stands with vendors. At the very least, giving away free stuff. I mean, go fill up your bag, but that'll mean that you're discussing things with people from, you know, from vendors who have products or services that interest you, and that's really the genesis of it. You know, business cards are exchanged. If it's of interest to you, most definitely follow it up. It might be a coffee that goes nowhere, but you never know. But it's a really easy way to kind of strike up that conversation, is to go to them. Their job at that stand is to talk to people, so they will talk to you. It's a very easy way to try to get involved and I guess build your own little community.
I think the best way to do it really is, just certainly to start out, is to go and ask questions. You know, there's so much that is happening in this industry, there's so much happening in these products, is, you know, and I'm sure that most people have got a lot of questions, and it's a matter of, okay, these are the questions I'd like answered. And again, it's a case of, well, okay, maybe this, if I ask the question here, this person may not know, but the natural thing then to do is, okay, well, if you don't know, can you point me in someone who may be able to help me? And that will lead to further relationships. And again, you know, the vast majority of people are going to want to help you. They're going to want to provide you good advice. And I think, again, that's the way to get started, is to go in there and ask questions and, you know, be respectful and all that. But that's, you know, how to sell people that you're interested in, you want to understand, you want to get involved with what they're providing, what they're doing. And again, as you mentioned, walking around the stands and just asking questions, even if it doesn't go anywhere, I think that shows that you've got interest and you're thinking about the product. And as you mentioned, you know, it's all about getting involved. And I think, you know, going in and asking the question and, you know, hang on, I don't understand this, and how did you do this? And, you know, things like you mentioned with your relationship with other peers is, you know, okay, your business, how did you achieve this in your business, or what you've found working? You know, what's your aspect on this, can make a huge amount of difference and save you a lot of time, effort, money, you know, down the track. And I think that's what a lot of people miss out on, is this collective knowledge, this collective intelligence, that they're not really doing it. There's this one lone gunman sort of, you know, mentality is, no, I can do it all, I don't need anybody's help, I can work it all out. Well, you probably could, but you know what, you're going to run out of time. So again, I think, as you mentioned there, that's an important thing. But going and asking questions is very important. That's obviously what you guys have done, and you've taken that, you know, to places like the US. And so, I mean, what's the feeling in the, is there a big difference between the partner community in a place like the US, where you've got partners from all over the world, versus partners in Australia? Is there a noticeable difference between that sort of feel?
Yeah, first of all, I think a lot of credit needs to go to the Sydney and probably the larger New South Wales IT community. I think we're very lucky here to have a very generous and helpful community. We've definitely benefited from that, and hopefully we've been able to help some other people out as well. I can't speak to the other states only because I'm not so involved, but we are very lucky here. One of the things there to do with our kind of local community here, I guess, is we find that, especially in the beginning, you need to not feel threatened by asking a question. You need to feel okay about kind of maybe admitting that you don't know everything. You may well have the answer, and you know, when you ask someone the question, you might verify what you were thinking in the first place, or might change your track, but it's an important thing to do. So we've benefited from, I guess, acknowledging that there's more than enough business out there for everybody, and it's okay to get advice and to also work with other people on some of these opportunities. The opportunity, or sorry, the partnership that we found in America was interesting. We actually made contact with a few different partners over there and managed to meet up with them while we were there. Mostly made contact through the ConnectWise community, which is another important relationship that we have. So, you know, like-minded businesses using the same tool set. And we found it really helpful to, I guess, you know, shoot the breeze with these guys, bounce, you know, commentary backwards and forwards. And we kept in contact with a couple of those guys since. But that was interesting because it's, you know, the other side of the world. They have some problems that are similar. They have some problems that are completely different. But business being business, it's always handy to, I guess, hear how they solve their problems and then tell them how we solved ours. And we found that interesting and probably expanded our horizons a little.
Well, I think that's the important thing in today's cloud, global, community, whatever you want to call it. You know, there's so much opportunity, there's so much information out there, and getting an idea or getting something that's early to market that people here haven't thought of or hasn't been brought in can make a big difference. And that's why I think, you know, the broader you can network and the tools that we've got today generally make that, you know, very, very easy to maintain at least a heartbeat sort of connection to these people. And I think, again, the thing is the benefit is if you, you know, travel overseas, you'll generally be able to meet up with these people again, and they'll take you out socially, they'll show you around. So I think that's also the other benefit when you look at the international side of things.
Yeah, and we found that last year with World Partner Conference, which is held in Washington, D.C., Phil Patelis, one of our business partners, and I, we decided, look, that's a really long way to go for one conference. So we decided to stop in Tampa, in Florida, and visit ConnectWise. And, you know, as with many partners out there, ConnectWise basically runs the logistics of our business, and it's a really important relationship that we've struck up. So we stopped in there for a couple of days, and we had a really good time, not only having some, you know, some high-level meetings that have helped us since, but also getting to know the guys. We went out, we had beers with them, we had a feed. I managed to grab a game of golf with a couple of them over there as well. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier around those personal relationships. ConnectWise now is, or at least it was midway through last year, is 600 staff. So, you know, they're becoming big and a little bit hard to navigate your way around, but knowing these people in there has definitely helped us since. So it's been useful.
Okay, so we've talked about obviously the big relationships with people like, you know, ConnectWise maybe and Microsoft and that sort of level, but what about the smaller guys? I mean, you know, is the relationship the same thing? Is that treated in a different way? Are you looking for something different in that respect? I mean, you know, how do you treat your relationship perhaps with a, you know, a smaller business, you know, still a specialist, but is there any difference in the way you approach that?
Yeah, the smaller relationships are sometimes no less important than the bigger ones. Generally speaking, there's less movement within the smaller relationships, generally speaking. We've found exceptions to that as well, but you know, Microsoft, for example, have a habit of redoing their job titles and moving people around. So there's a fair bit of, I guess, involvement there in trying to figure out who's doing what at the time in which you need it. The smaller relationships can be a little bit more nimble than that. And it's you know, obviously they don't put on road shows and events generally. So it is more of that kind of one-to-one catch-up. I make a lot of phone calls, to be honest with you. I don't have time to meet up with everyone, but even a phone call to touch base, you know, once a month and things like that means that, and it sounds self-serving, but I think you can appreciate it. It does mean that when you need help and you need something in a hurry and all that kind of stuff, they're more inclined to do it without begrudging you, which is something that's important to me. I don't like to think that I put people out. So keeping those relationships up on the smaller front is probably a little bit different in its scale, but no less important.
Okay, so again, you've got the full gambit of the relationship and the partnership and all that sort of stuff you're bringing, obviously, into the business. What do you see the future? I mean, are you going to change the way that you approach this? Are you going to target other vendors, smaller operators? I mean, again, is it a case of just continuing to enhance what you've got, or is it going to be some sort of active approach at looking at, you know, growing that sort of those relationships that you have and extending that? I mean, what's sort of your thinking or your plans moving forward, especially in the relationship side of it?
Yeah, that's a particularly interesting question. I'll go back very briefly into the reason that we partnered as opposed to kind of doing things ourselves. So, Manage Exchange was a good one. We didn't want to do Exchange on site. We had the same kind of deduction as you did, that a lot of time goes into the maintenance of the system rather than business development, and we wanted to grow our business faster than that. And in the same way, we have, you know, some Citrix solutions that we've partnered with, some telephony solutions that we've partnered with. So whilst you have vendor relationships, which you've spent a fair bit of time talking about, we've also decided that in some instances, rather than invest ourselves, we'll either partner because we think it's the right thing to do, or partner to at least prove the business concept to us and show whether we should invest. So some partnerships, we might look at hiring into internally, most definitely, which is interesting. We're always appraising that and seeing what the business opportunities are there. So that's something that will obviously change the nature of some relationships as we move from doing it through a partnered arrangement to trying to provide those skills and those products in-house. So that's something that we're constantly doing. I will say that, you know, most of the time the partnership model for us has been our preferred model. We've just found that it's lower risk. It lets us grow our business faster. Yes, you do give a bit away on the way through, but as you mentioned before, there's more than enough business out there for everyone. So we found that it's been a really good way to grow our business. And also we enjoy the relationship. So that's it's a big part for us as business owners.
Now, when you do partner with someone, do you have a set arrangement, or is each one looked at an individual and comes up with a unique arrangement? I mean, do you have something standard, or is it all basically unique for each relationship you have?
It's pretty unique for each relationship. It does depend on how close it comes to competing with some of your core competencies. So there's some things that we've offered to customers through partnership that we'll probably never look at doing, to be honest with you. And it's been more of a referral kind of arrangement. There's been other instances where we've wanted to partner and do that under the Xcentral banner. So it does depend. In some cases, we've gone down the path of, you know, doing a proper maybe MOU or some kind of documented arrangement just to make both parties feel better that it's going to be done in the right way. And then we've found that, you know, more often than not, the document gets stored away and you go back to having to maintain the relationship as you do any other relationship. But it does differ in each case. And I don't think we'd ever probably reach a point where we have a standard for that, because the nature of the partnership differs so much between the cases.
Okay, so, I mean, we've all talked about the positive, we've all talked about the benefits, we've all talked about the advantages. Do you have any experience with maybe relationships that have soured, that have come out and been an issue, or something's, you know, something to beware of, or some learning that you've had based on, you know, a relationship that may not have gone the way you thought? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, it has. It's been rare, thank goodness, and that hopefully in part comes down to our loose selection process, I guess. But we have had that, and I won't mention any names, obviously, but, you know, we've been let down by some people who we've put into some customers of ours. Depending on how – look, as we know, in business, bad things happen. It's always down to how you handle it. And we have felt in the past that some things haven't been handled as they should have been. And we've always kind of – got to have a contingency in place where that happens. So in this particular case, we kind of moved on to someone we've been having some conversations with anyway. So we certainly try to be part of the community, and as being part of the community, you generally know more than one company or person who does certain things, and it definitely comes down to finding that person you can trust. It isn't a nice situation. It obviously led to some hard conversations, but ultimately, you know, we would like to think that as a business, we are very upfront about everything. There's no point in kind of not being politely frank and that kind of stuff, and we found that was the best way to handle it, and it all kind of, I guess, moved on amicably, and we were able to move on and, I guess, find someone else who could offer that solution.
Yeah, look, I think at the end of the day, you know, you're right. You need to, the positives, and that's going to far outweigh the negatives. But I think, as with any relationship, you do need to make sure that you do have, you know, you're aware of this and you do keep an eye on it. Because I think the ones that generally turn bad or the ones that have issues are the ones which are neglected or you don't watch or, again, I think part of it is, you know, you just need to make sure that you're verifying them. Because at the end of the day, those relationships, even though they're through another party, are still with your customers. They're the ones, they trust you and they look to you to provide that surety. And that's why you need to be basically, you know, their representative to make sure everybody in the relationship we've got is working for them. And I think, again, it's not a case of abdication. I think you can't just, you know, get someone in or get a relationship and say, rightio, you handle that, I don't hear anything about it, just do the job and walk away. I think you've got to be far more involved. And really, I think in summary, that's what we're saying about relationships. It's really an ongoing process, and that's where you get the most benefit. That's where you get the most advantage. I mean, is that a fair summary?
Yeah, it is. Look, it's vitally important to us and our survival, I guess, especially with key customers, that if we get someone in there, they're not gonna make us look bad. So, you know, part of that comes down to us setting the right expectation with whoever we're getting to go in as our partner, and make sure that they're aware of maybe some of the political situations if they exist, or, you know, most definitely the technical requirements and, I guess, the expectation around deliverables. So you really got to be upfront, and you know, whether it be, you know, people that we get to do cabling, who we make sure vacuum up after themselves, which is quite rare in Sparky land, or whether it's, you know, someone who we get in Brisbane to do a job up there because we don't have an office there, or likewise in Melbourne, we choose very, very carefully, and finding someone who's going to do a good job ultimately make us look good, because you know, quite often we don't shy away from the fact that it's not Xcentral in there, it's this person from company X, and we partner with them, and we want them to make us look good and to keep our customer relationship happy. So yep, comes down to effort, and it also comes down to, I think, clear communication and setting the expectations for any particular job that you might be involved in.
Yeah, I think, again, the other key to it obviously is communications, and as you, in your case, you know, pick up the phone, make the personal conversation. I think you can't just rely on the technology. I think that personal one-on-one, face-to-face is the best. Next option is your phone, but you can obviously keep in touch with them electronically, but you would certainly agree that the phone is really your weapon of choice when it comes to maintaining these sort of relationships.
Phone's fantastic. Look, you mentioned face-to-face, obviously always better. Where we deal with people kind of all over Australia and all over the world, it's not so easy. One of the handiest tools that I find is Link. I have, you know, many people on my Link list outside of Xcentral people, and it's really handy to, I guess, just, you know, have a quick catch-up by Link, especially when you've got questions. It's quite a way that people don't mind being contacted on Link, because it lets them answer when they want to, as opposed to dropping everything for a phone call. So I'd encourage people to also, if they're not leveraging Link, to start looking at that.
Okay, well, I mean, there's a good point. I think we need to obviously round things up and let people get on with their day. So again, if you want to give us, perhaps, again, you've given us a couple of summary items there. So, you know, use Link, the relationships, make the phone call. If there's anything else you would like to let people know in summary, and then if you can let us know what's the best way to get in contact with you or keep up with what Xcentral's doing, again, and maybe build a relationship with them. So if you could give us that, that'd be great.
Yep, no problem. Look, I think in roughly splitting the relationships and the partnering into two different categories, one being your vendors and your distributors, absolutely put effort into that. Make sure they know who you are. make sure you're not just a number to those guys, that they know who the company is and who you are, and that takes effort. When it comes to partner relationships, my advice would be not to feel threatened or, I guess, substandard because you're asking a question. There's many people out there who would be happy to help you, and I'd really encourage you to be open about what you need to know. Obviously, if you do it in the right way, people will be happy to help. I think that probably sums up the two broad categories as we see it. Both equally as important, but both probably a little bit different in the style that you maintain them. For keeping in contact with X-Central, our website has a blog on it, so feel free to kind of look at that. We're also pretty busy on the social media side of things, so you can find us on there. If people want to reach me directly, it's angus.mansfield@xcentral.com.au, and feel free to grab me on email or via link. I'll be happy to have a chat.
Cool. All right. Well, again, I will encourage everybody also. I'm happy to connect with people via link. So, again, you can find all my details at my blog, www.ciaops.com. But with that, I will take this opportunity to thank Angus for his time and his experience and the knowledge that he shared with us today. I think it's been a great value, and there's plenty in there for relationships, big or small. They're the major advantage that can be brought to the table, and I think that Angus and X-Central in general are proof of the results that can be achieved by focusing on that. So with that said, again, I thank Angus for his time, and I'll bring to a close another podcast from the Computer Information Agency. Thanks very much for listening. You've been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For guides on using technologies like SharePoint Online and Office 365, visit www.ciaops.com/publications. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciops.com/contact.